The doctor last evening didn't really give us much hope at all for our 94-year-old dad to live through what has stricken him. First of all, he became very, very weak and delirious from a 104.9 fever, and the flu is raging in his body, and this has also led to double pneumonia. The report this morning is that the lungs are worse than they were last evening, and that all this has indeed led to a heart attack. So we appreciate your prayers and your love. God has blessed us with a dad who has loved us, provided for us many years. He has given us many, many days and years together. We do not argue with God. We serve a God who is able to pull a 94-year-old out of double pneumonia, out of heart attack. We're not arguing with God. He gives, he takes away. And if these are dad's allotted years in life and they have come to a close, God be praised for all he has given us, for all his blessings. For God is love and God is good. Thank you, Brother Duane, for sharing. Thank you, Sister Carol. God bless you, Brother Henry and Sister Carol and your children. You're very valuable in the body of Christ. One part of the body has no business saying to another part, I have no need of thee. That's straight from the scripture. One part is as important as another. I shared with Brother Ray that I have no idea how long I'll be up here this morning, having tucked my prepared sermon away in the back of my Bible, and that's where it's going to stay. I ask that the brethren that surround me in the pulpit might share as the Lord leads them, and I'm thankful that that has taken place, and we look forward to continue to take place. This came upon us so quickly. If it had been earlier, I no doubt would have backed out of this, but I just felt of the Lord that I should at least be here for a few minutes this morning. And of course, our minds are scattered and in the hospital there with Dad. I think you'll understand that. But we have been led to a few scriptures this morning that I'd like to share with you. Maybe they're for my comfort. Maybe they're for my extended family and my family's comfort. But I hope and trust that God can be magnified and glorified, and that the Lord Jesus Christ can be worshipped this morning through our broken comments, through the lifting up of the word. And the theme of the morning, as we've studied the love of God, or the love that we need to have for one another, through the Sunday school lesson and Brother Duane's continued thoughts on love, indeed, the love one for another has its base in the fact that God loves us. And the base for the scriptures that we would share this morning, the hope that we have, is based on the love of a wonderful, precious God. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we, you and I, were sinners, Christ died for us. That's the kind of love our God has for us. You know, sometimes we wait for a person to shape up and do better, and then we'll love them. That's not how we should love. We should love the way God has loved us. He gave his love to us while we were yet ugly, disgusting, vile sinners. And I'm so thankful that he has loved me like that. And I hope you are too. God so loved the world, that is, he so loved you, that he gave his Son, his only begotten Son, that if you would only believe on him, you would never have to perish in the fires of hell, but that you could have everlasting life. That is our God of love. And that God of love has shared with us some precious promises from the scripture. If this set of broken comments needs a title, maybe we could say life is short. James, and a verse for that would be James chapter 4, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And I can just picture the tea kettle heating up on the stove. We don't drink a whole lot of coffee in our house. Some are kind of getting onto that a little, but a hot tea. And when that water is hot enough, the steam rises. And that quickly it is gone again. As young people, we tend to think we have loads and loads and years of time. And yet, if you live to be 94 or 100, you've had but a short season here on earth. Your life has just been a vapor. And you will realize that the older you get. I have already realized that as the years come and go and you wonder how so many of them are slipping by. And life indeed is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. And the sobering part of that is it's what we do with that vapor of time that determines our whole eternity that has no end. No end in sight for those that are in eternity. There's no end in sight for the bliss of the redeemed. And there's no end in sight for the wailing and the gnashing of teeth for the lost. And yet this life, where we prepare for that life, is so short. What are we doing with it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first verse says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that is, if we know that if our earth, if our fleshly body of this tent, of this body, were dissolved, that is, if it were done away with, if it would perish, we still have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. God has loved us so much, he knew that once man sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve, you know, we can't blame God that we grow old and feeble and we have all kinds of physical problems. Man chose to sin. And you and I have chosen to sin. And because of that, man shall not live forever. Man shall die. And that includes a physical death, barring the return of the Lord while one is living. And so we can't blame the Lord that we have all these problems and suffering in the human race. But thanks to God, his great love for us, he knows we're going to perish the way we are. And so he builds us a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, eternal, brothers and sisters, sinner friend. Eternal, a house that will never, never perish, will never pass away. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We earnestly desire to be clothed with that which God is going to give us in exchange for this old, corruptible, decaying body. Now, in young years, it's hard to understand the desire that would be there, but as people get older, there is a great desire that there would be a change, a transformation, a putting off of the old and an on with God's new house that is made from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. That is, we in this flesh, we groan. We struggle. We hurt. We sorrow. We're burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Mortality, that which has an end, might be swallowed up by life. Eternal, immortal. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise God for these verses. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, if we in this life only have hope in Christ, what does it say? We are of all men, what? Miserable. All of all men, most miserable. But it says in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That is, we born the image of the first Adam. And we've now, as creatures in Christ, new creatures in Christ, we have borne the image of the heavenly, of the second Adam, of Jesus Christ. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So you see, death is actually a good thing. Death is something that we can praise and thank our loving God for, because eventually there needs to be a change in order that we would go on living. And go on living, as it tells us in Revelation 21, in a state where there are no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. The scripture tells us the last enemy to be destroyed is death. An enemy indeed, an enemy that has been conquered by our risen Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. This I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, so we need to be changed. And those that are living at the trumpet sound will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling. And they will come along with those that are first raised from the dead in the rapture. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. Verse 51. 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Incorruptible, and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death, you have no sting. Grave, you have no victory. Because of the silver lining that we sorrow with when our loved ones die in the Lord. There's no victory for Satan. There's no victory for the enemy of our souls. There's no victory by the death that beseeches our fleshly body. There is no victory for the grave, for it could not hold our Lord. Back in Psalm chapter 24, I wish I knew the words to that hymn. I'm sure Brother Laverne knows them, and some of the rest of you, but it is powerful. Psalm chapter 24, beginning at verse 7. Here the psalmist says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is King of glory. Who is the King of glory? Who is the King of your life? Who is the King of your glory? Who is the King of your hope in this life and in the life to come? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist declared him in his day. Praise God. He is the Almighty, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, who was promised to us in Isaiah. He is the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is your God and he is my God. And when we surrender our lives to him, we have hope beyond this corruptible, that one day we might be clothed from heaven with a house not made with hands, created in the heavens to live forever, incorruptible. First Corinthians 15 says in verse 15:56, it goes on and says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Sin. We would not have known sin, Paul said, but by the law. By the law, man found out that he could no way ever please God and get saved by trying to keep the law of a God who was holy and pure and perfect. And so Jesus Christ fulfills the plan of redemption that God put in place in ages past. And he indeed came as he was summoned at the time appointed, when the fullness of time was come, born of a woman, by the Spirit of God, he came to save you and I. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Because of this great love of God, and because of this great plan of redemption, because of this hope that we have of the decaying body of now being replaced by one that will never decay, because of that, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Be zealous for the Lord. Be energetic for the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God bless you.